There was an idea to bring together a remarkable group of Marvel Crisis Protocol players to see if they could give something more to the community. The Christmas Present Initiative. Last Christmas, we gave you the 18 days of Christmas, one for each affiliation. This year, we're doing it bigger and better. Not just every affiliation, but every leader will get their own episode. 33 leaders, one massive present to the MCP community.
All right, we're back with another Christmas episode. This time, I have Fletcher, aka Hyper Viper, with me. How you doing?
Doing well. Happy to be here, representing Thanos.
Yeah, I was just going to get to that. So, you have been gifted, or you are gifting the community with a Thanos list, Black Order, obviously, because that's who he's the leader of.
Yeah, it was a bit of a struggle, but I managed to make it still mostly Black Order for sure. I do have a Splash affiliation here, but even when you're playing the Splash, you're likely playing Thanos as well.
I mean, I love dual affiliation lists, so I'm ready for it.
All right.
So I guess we could start with, like, what makes you want to run Thanos, like, as a leader in particular? Like, why should people be excited about that?
I'm not currently running it, but in my opinion, Mindspace Thanos is like one of maybe like three or four of the most fun characters to play in the game. He just has such an expansive kit and you can do so much stuff. In this list, I'm running Mind Power, which is very heavy control. But it's still like having those big boss characters. Like I'm a Hulk guy. If anyone like, you know, hung out with me at LVO, I was probably talking the ear off about how much I think Hulk is super cool, even in a meta where he wasn't the best character or not even close to the best character. So I love like our big centerpiece characters. I love Hulk. I don't own Malekith, but I think he's cool. Anyone who's like above six threat or like six threat and above, I just think they're fun to play. Like, similarly, like Sorcerer Supreme Strange, any of those big boss characters that you can center your team around. This might go over some people's heads, but like when I played Magic the Gathering, when I was playing like Elder Dragon Highlander, I played Voltron, you know, I was trying to make my commander just stack all the cool shit on one character. That was my thing. So Thanos is, he's tanky. He has a ton of control. He doesn't hit super hard, but he can throw anyone in the game. And probably one of his defining characteristics is he makes the comeback factor in this game. He like turns it up to 11. So when characters are injured and he death decrees and they're getting +4 dice, which turns just about anyone into a rocket launcher. And it's just so fun to like be super reckless, get flipped, and then murder everything in front of you.
Yeah, injured death decrees are really great.
crazy. We ran a permadeath league somewhat recently. The Rogue Agents podcast ran a permadeath league. I don't think we ever quite finished it, but the idea was like if you take damage or if you flip, you stay flipped for the next game. And there were a couple of people running Thanos, and they just get their characters injured and then start out with injured death decree in the next game. It was pretty scary.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty funny interaction. But I mean, back in the day when you could play all you've got, and you could still do an extended, but yeah, you play that and then, hey, look at my character stays now.
It was also extended, that format that we were playing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We had all the toys. Yeah, it was pretty busted, but it was fun. All you got Corvus, that's how Ulysses won, you know, his TTS season was just by
killing
everything. Yeah. Yep. Didn't even realize. Yeah, that was you.
I was his top four or win. So. Unlucky.
When Corvus pops off, he just kills everything. And that was pre-nerf Corvus when he still had the flurry just on a wild too.
Yep. It was not a good time. so let's talk about what characters you're playing in this list. So you got Thanos and probably some more Black Order, I'd assume.
Yeah. So in my opinion, the second Black Order wave, if you want to call it that, the Supergiant and Proxima Midnight box, while they're very cool.
You mean Black Swan?
Oh, yeah. Supergiant, Black Swan. While they're, it's a very cool, and they have some cool interactions, and it's like you can definitely run like a, you know, a Black Order team without any gems, without Thanos, and like have a fun time. I don't think they're strictly competitive. And when Jacob came to me and said, make a competitive list, I took that to heart. So the only three Black Order members I'm running are Thanos, Corvus, and Proxima, which I still think is like, if you're going for optimal, those are your three.
No love for Power Swan?
I do like Power Swan, but right now I have two fives on the list. I have Reality Corvus and New Skull. I have Master Skull. So Power Swan, although she is very cool, she can't really compete with the dice consistency of the other two. Also, Thanos has the Power Stone. I'm running Mind Power Thanos.
Ah, fair, fair. Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so I guess I should ask, no love for Space Maw?
No love for Space Maw. Bard Cat's a very good friend of mine, but no, no love for Space Maw. It's not for me.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think Black Order could, you could kind of build them two ways. Like the way that you're doing, where you go back to the roots of like Thanos, Corvus, Proxima, or you do like the Corvus team with like Space Maw, Power Swan. So
the times that I've tested like Corvus, Power Swan, like the Thanos less Black Order, I've been less than impressed. If you look at like the dice math for Corvus with and without Death's Decree, even with the Reality Stone, the Death's Decree is like really part of that puzzle that makes him so crazy.
Yeah, for sure. Death's Decree Corvus is like a one-man show. Well, mm-hmm. Kind of one and a half men.
Yeah, Red Skull as well.
That's fair. Yeah, Death's Decreeing Red Skull is a good time as well.
You can also Death's Decree his grunts for shits and gigs and have a six die reroll all attack when they die.
That's true. Okay, so we're talking about Red Skull. So what other splash characters you got going on here?
So the full list, I can just go down that list real quick, mm-hmm. is Mind Power Thanos, Reality Corvus, Proxima Midnight, Master Skull, Dr. Voodoo, Nick Fury Jr., who is only showing up as Nick Fury in my list, in my Cerebro right now for some reason, Baron Zemo, Black Panther, Shuri, and Okoye.
Okay. So we got some Wakanda in there.
Yeah. I think with now that Sacrifice is kind of gone, at least I can't run it with all the, like the restricted card I take besides the Reality Stone is Patch Up, because I think that lets Thanos really flex as much as he possibly can. So I think Okoye is like borderline a must. Like some kind of bodyguard mechanic is very, very important to keep him alive and keep him healthy so he can use those portals.
Yeah, I think having access to a healing card with Thanos is really clutch.
Oh yeah.
He's not a fan of losing MedPack. That is
no, he is sure. Not. He's probably the character who misses MedPack the most, besides like maybe Web Warriors.
And yeah, even
then, I think Thanos misses
that.
It more.
I think I would still agree with you. Yeah. Cool. So, what kind of game plan are you going for here? Like, so you got BO, you got Wakanda. I think with the Thanos team, like you're saying, you kind of do want to dual affiliate because Thanos is going to eat up a lot of your restricted slots. I mean, I guess your Thanos has no restricted slots, but
he doesn't. But the idea behind this is I'm trying to run Thanos at virtually every point value besides maybe 14, and even that's debatable. So like at 15, you can still run Panther, Shuri, Mind Power, Thanos, and I think that's a really solid gamma 15. You just, you know, because if they're going to go five wide, you can just pass twice. Whoever comes to the middle, you can get them off. Shuri can get them off easily. Then Thanos, if he activates last, which you're probably not doing, at minimum is displacing two people off the middle. And like moving Panther up, and at most can displace three people off the middle, which is just ridiculous. It's really hard to contest with Power Thanos.
I could see that. I am a little skeptical because I think like a Hulk team going last with four characters probably give it some struggle. I mean, what would you do against that?
If there's a Hulk team, so they're going to have one character that going last, right? So if it's Hulk going last, the best they can do is throw Thanos off the point. So you just have Panther and Hulk on the, or Panther and Thanos in the middle. So at worst, you're tying in the middle.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I do worry a little bit that like they would just daze Shuri afterwards and like take away activations, because I don't know if you can really pass.
Shuri's sitting on your back point, so it's not, she's not the easiest target, but I do hear what you're saying for sure.
Yeah. So just something to think about, but yeah, I think that seems pretty good. I mean,
the other option is like you can play Thanos, Corvus, and Okoye, or like Thanos, Skull, Okoye, and just leave that grunt sitting on the back the entire game.
That's also true. You said Thanos, Skull, Okoye. Okay, so that's just unaffiliated.
Yep. I'm kind of a fan of unaffiliated teams.
Hey, I mean, I run a leaderless team on Gamma, and it's very good.
this past season 9 TTS League, I was playing Defenders, and the two games that I lost were the games where I actually played with the leader. So, Well, yeah, it was 4-2 at the end of the season.
Defenders don't have any cards, so, and their leadership's
low. Hey, I used the portal, but the one game I used the portal, it completely backfired and lost me the game. So, yeah, they're in a rough spot for sure.
Yeah, not great. Okay, yeah, so I guess, like, when are you looking to bring, like, Black Order, like, just, like, the Thanos Trinity, or maybe even with Red Skull, right? Like, you can upgrade Proxima to Red Skull and play with Thanos.
There's also situations where I think you play Red Skull over Corvus. Like, if because Corvus can get to centerline with a single move and a placement, but if you have the range 2 plays, there are times that Thanos can fish hook someone directly into range 3 of Red Skull, right? Like, if they're a little bit careless with their first activation. And then Red Skull just kills that person 90% of the time. So, like, the crises I'm running are Scoundrels, Extremis, Gamma, and then I have Skrulls and Alien Ship and Legacy Virus. So a lot of stuff where you just need to come to the middle. So I'm kind of trying to play that game. I'm such a fan of Thanos with cover, so Scoundrels is just a no-brainer for me.
Oh, man, and Scoundrels is a great Black Order secure.
It's so good. You just take over one side of the board. It's so much fun.
Yep.
Yeah, so Scoundrels especially, I'm likely going to be playing Thanos Corvus Proxima with either Voodoo or Fury, depending on the extract. Fury also is so clutch in Black Order, like solo or dual Black Order lists, because one of their worst crises is cubes, and Fury solves cubes really easily, because you just go first with Fury, grab, you know, 3 cubes, and then just hang out. Then they either have the option of killing the grunts and letting someone else pick them up, or Thanos will just teleport the grunts back over to Fury, so start of turn 2, he has 3 cubes and just goes and sits in a corner.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I like that. It's hard for them to get anything off of the grunts early on. I mean,
they are such a time waster for sure.
Yeah. I mean, they could go last and kill your grunts, and then nobody scores the cubes, most likely.
Yeah, that's the best case scenario, though.
Yeah, exactly. Then you slow the game down, you have Prio, and you probably just go with Fury and pick up the rest of the cubes or something. He just drops agents and picks them up. So, yeah. I dig it. That's cool. See, so you said you're not running cubes, though, right?
Oh, hell no. I hate cubes. Cubes is probably my game. I hate cubes so much.
Is it the power phase days?
The power phase days is annoying, but I just like not dying. So, like, I don't like demons downtown, and I don't like cubes. So if you're playing against me, you run those two crises, and you'll make me sad. So I just want to play Hulk all day, like in a normal list, right? And he doesn't like
Hulk's crises favorite crises is cubes.
Disagree. Hulk's favorite crises is hammers with eyes on the eyes on the prize.
Okay.
Where you can get 2 hammers turn 1, no matter where they go. But yeah, he's pretty good at cubes as well. I don't know. I just like not dying, and so anything that makes my characters die, I don't like.
That's fair. Yeah, I guess that's more of a deeper discussion on like the crises and the game and the crises meta and whatever. But it's worth another episode. But So you said your secures were what? It was Extremis, Scoundrels, and Zakazic Invasion?
And Gamma.
Oh, Gamma. That's right. Yes. Cool.
Yeah, because I still think Wakanda has good game on Gamma. Like, the intention here is to pretty much always run Thanos, but if I need to, I still have a decent Wakanda wave setup where I can play, like, Panther, Shuri, Okoye, and then either a 4 and a... Oh, I don't have another 2. So Panther, Shuri, Okoye, and then Proxima, Zemo. It's a bit more killy than traditional Wakanda Wave, but I still think it's solid.
I think Wakanda Wave needed, if you're going to play it, it needs to update itself for the times. I don't think you can play the 5 wide, not have a size 4 displacement version anymore.
I mean, Gwen can still like fill that hole with a size 4 displacement, but not if they bring Juggernaut. So there's always
exactly.
It's one of those things where like, 6 months ago, we were all surprised that BDT was ever a thing. And now we're all kind of surprised that Wakanda Wave was ever a thing, you know? Because there's just so much more tech to deal with Panther now. Like, every list has at least a Voodoo or some kind of Mystic attacker that can just kind of kill him. Yeah, it's different. Well,
Panther got nerfed. That's the most important
Panther,
part.
Yes, he also can't push size 4 people.
Yeah. If Panther could still push any size, I think they would mostly be the same.
Shuri as well, but yeah, thank the Lord that that's no longer the case. I remember the early days of Marvel when I was a youngin playing against my buddy, and we had never played board games like a tabletop game before, and he would just push my Hulk into a corner with Shuri every turn. I'm like, this doesn't feel good. I feel sad.
Yeah. That's good old Wakanda. So what do you like? You mentioned, was it maybe a little bit before this cast, but you said that you definitely prefer like the Thanos-led Black Order over the Corvus Black Order. You want to elaborate on that a little bit?
I hate ever like yucking someone else's yum and saying like, I don't think this is good, but I don't think Corvus-led Black Order is like competitively viable. I think it's for the game shop on Friday nights. I've never seen it perform like extremely well. You need to run all affiliated members, which is something they're doing now. And I talked about this on my Discord somewhat recently, where I feel like the game is going through a phase of like reverse power creep, where they've learned so much about design philosophy that they've like changed how they design characters, but they haven't gone back and eroded like original releases. So like Kingpin, I still think is just like such a ridiculous package for a four threat. And then you look at someone more modern, like even Juggernaut, who doesn't have a character throw until he's injured and has it on his like as a card. Similarly, oh God, what was I talking about? My brain.
We were talking about why Thanos. What you're trying to make a pitch for? Thanos led is worth running instead of Corvus led.
Yeah, my point was, so Corvus's leadership only affects affiliated members, similar to like how Weapon X works now, where it's like only affiliated members can really benefit from it. And that pigeonholes you into running such a specific set of characters that it's so easy to counter build you. Like, I'm actually pretty happy whenever I see a Black Dwarf on the other side of the table, because I'm a traditional Hulk player and I'm just going to use him as a bowling ball to kill all his friends. Corvus-led Black Order can totally work. I just think, like I said earlier, the dice math on like 5 die strikes versus 7 and 9 die strikes with Corvus is radically different. So I think Thanos really is like the piece that makes Black Order such an efficient machine, and it's tough for me to ever not think that's the best option.
That's fair. I also find like some people have a hard time playing into Thanos. So you have that going for you if you're like an experienced Thanos pilot. People are still having success with Thanos.
Oh yeah. Like I got smashed by Thanos a couple times in League.
Yeah. I know my locals running around with Space Reality Thanos and Midnight Sun. So
that's literally what it was. It's really good.
Yep. Yeah, he was just bashing people in the face with him. Nice. So like, I guess we can move on to some tactics cards. Just want to name them off.
Sure. So we've got Patchup as our one restricted. Then we have Mothership, Eye in the Sky, Wakanda Forever, Mission Objective, Marked for Death, Escort to Safety, Seance, Fallback, and Recalibration Matrix.
Seance.
Yeah. I honestly just had slots, so I was like, Seance is a cool card. And when you boost Dr. Voodoo, when he's got Seance going, especially because Seance is free, you can really just like evaporate someone pretty well.
Yeah, Seance is, if I recall correctly, it's like when you put Daniel on somebody, you can play the card, and then they are basically hexed on top of that.
That is something, but the reason I use it is because when he has Voodoo on him himself, whenever he rolls attack, defense, or dodge, he gets double crit dice.
Ah, yes. Okay.
So, like, if you do a 9 or an 11 die, whatever it's called, his spender, Staff of Legba, you Legba somebody, and you're rolling, you know, a million dice, you get, like, 2 or 3 crits. Suddenly, that's, like, 4 extra dice, you know? It's crazy. You can really pop, like... If you get even just a mediocre roll, that person in front of you is usually just dead.
Huh, interesting. I need to reread Seance. This sounds.
I'll read it to you right now.
Better. Well,
Dr. Voodoo may play this card. While Dr. Voodoo has his brother Daniel token, add 2 additional dice instead of 1 for his attack, defense, and dodge rolls when adding dice for the crit results this round. When another character has the brother Daniel token, that character does not add dice to its attack, defense, or dodge rolls while adding dice for crit results this round. And it's unaffiliated active, so you can just play it whenever it's your turn.
And it's free?
Yep, it's completely free.
Interesting.
So for the whole round, he just gets double crits.
And it's out of activation?
It's out of activation. You have to have, you know, you need to be able to...
It can be your turn, but it doesn't have to be Voodoo's activation. Yeah.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. That sounds better than I remember it. Maybe I'll give it some tries.
it's a sneaky good card. It's one of my favorite like fun cards, but it's also like when I'm playing Voodoo and I don't need another card, it's a pretty solid one to lock in. Like it used to be, you know, when you're playing Black Order, you're playing Mothership, Patchup, Brace, or Mothership, Brace, Medpack, Sacrifice, and like one other card for your splash character every single time. And that's no longer the case because, you know, your restricted slots are so tight. So now you kind of have room to experiment with cooler stuff.
Yeah, I find Black Order actually has a lot of good character cards and affiliated
cards.
They do. Blood to Spare is an awesome card.
I'm not the biggest fan of it. I like flipping and starting the next round with a ton of power, but I do think Blood to Spare is a very good card.
So remind me, Blood to Spare costs 3, if I recall, right?
It does, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, you could do a builder. But the chance you refund 3 power in a builder is iffy. You can also Death Decree that attack.
You can Death Decree it, but you can't Glaive's Edge it. So correct, it's just like, yeah, it's still basically just a Pierce attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 7 dice Pierce is a Malekith attack, so.
Yeah, it's a Malekith attack.
So I guess, like, I've played a lot of Thanos. You've played a lot of Thanos. When I started playing Thanos, I had a huge learning curve, like, trying to learn how to pilot Thanos. I had games where, like, I just overextended Thanos too much, and he just died to, like, Cable.
Right, yeah.
So, like, do you have any advice for people, like, picking up Thanos maybe the first time?
So, like, my first bit of advice for up-and-coming Thanosers, for up-and-coming Mad Titans, is you got to remember that this is likely the hardest character in the entire game to pilot well. He is such a huge commitment, and if you are not playing him, like, close to perfectly, you will be better off just playing 2-4 threats or, like, 2-3s and a 2. He is definitely worth 8 threat in a lot of situations, but you need to really think through everything you're doing because, like I said, he is probably the hardest character to pilot well in the entire game. He's such a, like, master planner type character. Like, even when it feels like a good idea to sit him in the middle of the board, it often is not. And, like, having the restraint to not punch people is something I will always struggle with because punching people is fun. And oftentimes the best move with Thanos is literally just to move up, clear a point with your teleports, and then move back.
Yeah, that's definitely a great Thanos play if it, like, puts you ahead and makes sense, sets you up for next round. I also found that I would err on the side of doing that more than I probably should have. And I found ways to weave in attacks when they were, like, opportunistic, if you will. And that way it helps his power economy much, much more.
Part of why I like the Wakanda splash is because Power Mind Thanos often has a little bit more power than he actually needs. So you can make those attacks stick a little bit harder. And, you know, you have the defensive rerolls, which are going to have power for most of the time. But if you do eventually flip, which is big sad time, you suddenly have enough power to be firing off those 8 die laser beams, those cosmic blasts, which you get a reroll for, which are a lot scarier than just, you know, a regular 8 die cosmic blast.
Yeah, Thanos can use the Wakanda leadership pretty decently.
Especially with the Power Stone, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, having a reroll on his attack definitely goes a long way. He's got wild triggers on both attacks.
And defense and dodge, he's pretty tough to take down under Wakanda.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Especially if he's getting beat on, he'd have power to spend for the defense reroll. So Thanos' leadership is pretty straightforward.
It is. It's just fabulous. I've won like 2 or 3 games with the Thanos leadership, and it's such a good feeling.
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes I've had games where, like, I'm down by a little bit, and then I start, like, remove 1 or 2 characters, and all of a sudden I'm just, like, caught back up, and it's like, oh. And then my opponent's scoring is just nullified through Cosmic Portal.
Yeah, the forever Thanos, like, feels good time is when you take over one side of the board and get, like, a 1 or 2 VP lead off of Murder, and then you can just ride the game out. They have to run into you. And, like, walking up and doing a single attack into these characters that have, like, you know, 3 defense and reduced by 1, and you're often doing like 1 damage, if that, is so disheartening. And then they just teleport you away and laugh. Oh my god, it's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah. I mean, it might be worth talking about, like, because you and I have both played, like, traditional Black Order, and it's not the easiest thing in the world to play.
Not at all.
So, like, want to give? Do you have any, like, words of wisdom for people who want to try it out? I mean, I feel like just playing it, like, at local game night, just to understand what it does, is valuable in, like, your player skill set.
When you do that, though, when you go to your local shop, make sure you talk to your opponents and try and find the person who has experience against Black Order. Because if you're fighting someone who's never fought them before and you just, like, raffle stomp them, like you play on, like, Demons Downtown or Gamma or something, you just walk all over them, neither of you are learning anything. So try and find the person like me or like Mike here, who have played Black Order and they understand both its strengths and weaknesses, and they can actually give you a run for your money and like tell you what you're doing wrong.
Yeah, that is the ideal scenario. The second scenario would be just make sure you and your opponent are on the same page. You're like, hey, I'm going to figure out, you know, Thanos Black Order. It's going to be so and so. And just expect like these things to happen. And if the game gets really dumb, then we'll just re-rack and move on, you know?
I talked about like boss characters earlier on. Like if it's turn one and my buddy playing Convocation drops his books and then spikes Thanos and kills him turn one before he activates, I'm probably going to ask us to re-rack.
Yeah, that's definitely a, this game went super south. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the margin of error with Black Order, though, right? When you're running Aether Thanos.
Yeah, when you have three characters, you need to make them work. That's why I don't recommend playing Black Order to newer players, because you're going to have a bad time. When you have three or four, when you're running Tall, like I've seen a lot of hate for Tall meta recently, like after the advent of Malekith and stuff, and like the popularity of Hulk right now. I don't care. I love Tall meta, because you have to make those fewer characters really count.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think if both players are playing a Tall meta, you've just shrunk your activations are less impactful, right? Like objectively,
mm-hmm.
Or they're less they're not as it's not as crazy because you're not like, oh, Black Order has six activations against somebody running six wide, they have 12, right?
Yes, yeah, the disparity is really where it becomes like problematic, right? Like Black Order into Sam was always a bad matchup.
Speaking of that, yeah, like. You run dual affiliation, so like, what matchups would you consider playing Thanos Black Order instead of your off affiliation?
Pretty much, I mean, I'll be playing Thanos even in Wakanda, so like most of the time I'm probably running Thanos, because like 17 you can run the Wakanda 3 and Thanos, which I think is fine. He can play both the game plans. He can play the, you know, fish hook people for Corvus or Red Skull to kill them. Or he can play the control setup that Wakanda likes to do and just displace people off of points and make sure that he just gets to score out quickly. So I think either situation, unless it's like I was talking about demons or potentially cubes or something that he really dislikes, that's when I would consider not running Thanos. So it's more of like a bad matchup than a good matchup is where I'm like not taking him as opposed to taking him, if that makes sense.
That's fair, yeah. Yeah, I found if my opponent has ways to deal with Thanos or if he's going to be taking damage from the crises, it's pretty scary putting him on the table.
Yeah.
Because when he flips, he just feels so bad.
He really does. And that's my biggest like complaint about, like, I was like, why did you know, change this character so radically? Is like Malekith flips and he like loses 2 health or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thanos flips and loses arguably his most impactful ability.
Well, he loses his leadership and his cosmic portal.
Well, his leadership changes and becomes, you know, 10 times worse. But yes, he does. Yeah.
Yeah, his injured leadership is very much like a Hail Mary.
For sure. I like it with Baron Zemo, at least.
Yeah.
I'm not really good at, like I said, I like not dying. But if it's like Corvus needs to kill this person or I will lose, I'll definitely spend the health.
Yeah, that's usually the times that you would be thinking about doing it. It's when the games have... It's when you're like behind and you're kind of desperate. Like, obviously, Thanos is injured and you're taking damage for like just rerolls. It's just...
Yeah. It's no fun.
So, like, is there any other squad setups that you consider running? I mean, what do you do at, like, 14?
Thanos, Proxima, Zemo.
Okay.
It's very reminiscent. I used to run a no Corvus Black Order list where I'd just run Thanos, Proxima, and Winter Soldier to every point value. And that's probably the most fun I ever had with a Black Order list. I think I still had Corvus in the list. I just never really used him. And I got very used to running, like, either Thanos, Proxima, Zemo, or Thanos, Zemo, Winter Soldier at 14. It's nasty. Blind Obsession being gone hurts it a lot, but it's still like pretty strong.
Why Bucky? I mean, Death Decree doesn't seem like it scales very well with Rapid Fire.
Blind Obsession Bucky with Death Decree will kill anything in the game.
Okay, so with Blind Obsession, yeah, I agree.
Yes, Blind Obsession was an auto take with that list, and now that it's no longer like in the current game, I don't play Bucky with Black Order anymore. Because yeah, it doesn't scale super well.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So yeah, we talked about like your squads are like 20, bring in like the 4th thread Voodoo Fury or something, and 15, mm-hmm. Think about playing Wakanda. 17 could be Thanos Wakanda, or could play 4th thread.
You can do, yeah, Thanos Corvus, or either Thanos Corvus and a 4, or Thanos Red Skull and a 4.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Black Dwarfs are only 4th thread in Black Order, right, I think?
Yes, he is.
Swan is.
Oh yeah, yeah, Genless Swan, but Genless Swan feels pretty bad.
Yeah, I don't love her either. Yeah, I don't know, you got anything else you want to talk about?
My favorite crises, I love Extremis for Black Order, like, so much. The healing on them It's disgusting. The D setup on them is ridiculous. It really leans into that, just like take over one side of the board. I've only gotten to play it once or twice, but at 18, running Thanos, Corvus, Red Skull is obnoxious. It just does so much damage. Every character you're attacking with is counting blanks and rolling like anywhere from 5 to 9 dice. It's so, so nasty.
You're playing Hammers, right?
I'm not playing Hammers, no. I was going to be playing Hammers, but then I took the Space Stone off of Thanos, so I'm not playing Deadly Legacy Virus. So they have to come to the middle and play with me.
Would you consider playing Hammers for the 18 threat?
I would consider playing Hammers if I was running Space Thanos. I think without it, it's a lot less good because you're basically giving them more firepower to deal with Thanos and Corvus.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of bodies to go out and get Hammers either.
Exactly, yeah. Like, I have Fury. I don't have a Toad or something like that, though. And I still think Toad is, like, debatably the best character in the game for his threat value.
Yeah, Toad is stellar. That's no secret.
He's insane.
I do, however, think the two threats are more balanced than people give them credit for.
What's their name? Black Widow is also an insane character. Like, stealth on a two threat with a long move is like, oh my god, she can do so much.
Yeah, I love Black Widow. She's really great. She's done a lot of work for me.
She's in my, what I think I'm going to be taking to LVO. I think it's still going to be bringing Black Widow.
Yeah, no, she's awesome. I've been playing her a lot for the last few months. My fun question, who's the most wanted character you want from the comics?
I know there's a new Hulk coming, so that's a really easy answer.
What Hulk do you think it's going to be?
I think is most likely going to be World War Hulk, since we saw him in a card already. But I'd be super glad to see Joe Fixit in a tuxedo as a CS affiliated character.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, just like with his guns and just like, yeah, I'm Joe Fixit. But I would like to see, what's his name? Not Fury from like the war, but Nick Fury, like at his prime James Bond, you know, leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. time. I want to see that version of Fury.
Okay, so Hasselhoff Fury.
I never watched that movie. I'm thinking more Garth Ennis Fury, you feel?
Okay. I'm not familiar, but I think I know what you're talking about.
Garth Ennis is a famous like Punisher. He wrote The Boys. He's a comic book author. And he wrote an arc for Fury where it's like S.H.I.E.L.D. is modernizing. They're squeezing out the hardcore people who like know how to do anything. And this Russian guy takes over like a small country. And without spoiling too much, Fury goes down there and pulls out his intestines and rips his, like, he just like wears them around his neck. And when they were making a Fury movie, okay. The guy, I think it was like, it was some famous Hollywood guy. I think it's the guy who played Batman recently. He saw that picture. He was like, there's no way I'm playing this character.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, The Boys is a great show. I love that show. Last thing, do you want to shout out anything?
I'm only on it when I have time, but listen to Rogue Agents. We're cool.
Yep. I can second that. Our ex-host Dizzard, that's his current project, so it's definitely worth a listen. And Sam's great as well. All right, Hyper Viper, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. See you in the next one.